Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. You know, normally there's a stand for me to put stuff on, and that expression, use it or lose it, must be true. We're good. Thank you. I didn't mean to cause you to do that. If you have your bulletins, please take your bulletins out. I just want to highlight a couple more things this week. We have additional services this week. On Thursday, we're going to have a Maundy Thursday service, which basically is a covered dish dinner, and then we're going to have an explanation of the Seder dinner, the Passover meal, and its symbolism for looking forward to Jesus, and Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Then we're going to have communion together. And then the final thing that we'll do that evening, that starts at 6 o'clock, we're going to come here into the sanctuary, and we're going to have a foot washing service. Now, please note, that is completely, completely, completely voluntary. Everyone repeat that word. Voluntary. Everyone repeat it again. Voluntary. You do not have to come in here and have someone wash your feet. Now, the elders aren't going to have a choice because I'm going to personally ask each one of them if I can wash their feet. So the elders got no choice in it. But everyone else, it's completely voluntary. It's going to be ladies with ladies, men with men. I've introduced this to each church I've served in. And usually the first time there's 15, 20 people that do it. And then the next year, everyone does it because everyone's terrified. Yes, I will clip my toenails and whatever else this week prior to and wash those dogs extra hard. But please don't think about any of that stuff. It's a wonderful thing. Jesus said you'll be blessed if you do this. And in all honesty, I'll wash anyone's feet in here. I don't care if stinky, smelly, doesn't matter. Yeah, it's not an issue. And by the way, this will be hypoallergenic or whatever you want to call it. We will not use towels. We'll have napkins. We'll have wipes. We'll have fresh water. We'll have all kinds of stuff. We will be sensitive to germs if you can be. So don't worry about that. And again, I don't have an issue washing other people's feet. The thing about me is, am I humble enough to let someone else wash my feet? It's a huge issue for me. It goes both ways. And so again, that's Thursday night beginning at 6. We're going to have a dinner in there. And then the explanation of the Seder meal. And then we're going to have communion together. Then we're going to come in here and have foot washing. And again, it's all voluntary. It's all voluntary. If you just want to come and observe the foot washing and see what those crazy people are doing, that's fine. Okay? Jesus said you'll be blessed if you do it. And I believe Jesus. And so we will do that. It's completely voluntary. One more time, repeat that word after me. It is voluntary. Voluntary. That's 6 to 8 o'clock on Thursday. Friday is going to be our Good Friday service in the evening. That'll be from 7 to 8. And then on Easter morning, we will have a sunrise service at 6:45. Hopefully last year, it was beautiful morning. Hopefully we'll have another beautiful morning. If Lord willing and weather permitting, we will be out in that parking lot and we'll watch the sunrise. The sunrise comes up, we'll start at 6:45. The sunrise will probably come up around between 7 and 7:15. It'll be light out already. It gets light, and then we see the sun coming up over the mountain. So, Lord willing, we'll be out in the parking lot. We're just going to be reading scripture, meditating. We're going to beat some of the animals in praising the Lord. I always, you know, I'm not going to let some bird beat me at praising the Lord that morning. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? I'm not going to let some bird beat me to praising the Lord on Easter morning. So I'll be here before light because birds start before light, you know. So you got to get up early to get that worm. Are you with me? Okay. So, and then we will have our regular worship service on Easter morning. What a glorious time to just thank the Lord and worship the Lord and remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And one day, we're going to meet him. He's coming back. And we're going to meet him in the air. And we're going to be with him forever. And, you know, that's our hope. That's our ultimate hope. In a couple days, it will be 6 months since my precious wife met the Lord. And, you know, I'm excited about that. This is going to be her first Easter. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I can't even imagine what that's like. You know, I'm a little envious, you know, that she's going to have her first Easter without me in heaven. But I know that I know that I know. And yes, my heart is sad and I miss her. But I know that I know that I know that she's in his presence. Jesus himself said, today you'll be with me in paradise. To be absent from the body for the believer is to be present with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have a time. He's left us here. We got still work to do. She's off the hook. She didn't have to do any more work. We got more work to do. You know, that's the reality. We've got more work to do. The Lord wants to flow through us to impact his kingdom for his glory yet here on earth. One day we will all be with him, and I look forward to that day. Amen? Okay, if you have your notes, your sermon notes this morning, I think those are all the basic announcements for that. You'll want, I'm actually not going to make you write anything, you know, you're not going to draw the bridge diagram or anything this week, so you've got a little bit. But before we go much further, you know, we always, Jesus, the suffering, the servant king is what we're going to focus on today. At BAC, as we love, grow, give, and go, we strive to be walking in intimacy with God and inviting others to do the same. You know the imagery for the visitors here, what I'm talking about. The imagery that I have of walking in intimacy with God, it's hard to put into words. But for many years of my life, I was so busy doing for him, serving him, that I neglected intimacy with him. And the imagery that comes to my mind, what I'm talking about when I'm talking about intimacy with God, is that one-on-one where you hear his voice, you sense his presence. This week, I had a birthday this week, and I took off the day, and I went to Audra State Park, and it was the day of the snow. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Every twig had snow on it. I mean, there were inches of snow on every twig. It was just so wonderful. No one was there. There was no nuts there. I was the only nut that was there. It was beautiful. It was quiet, except for the water going by. And, you know, I didn't hear his voice, but I sensed his presence. And it was overwhelming. It was just so cool. And my understanding, when I talk about intimacy with God, I see those images every once in a while of at a wedding or something, you'll have a little kid that'll step on her daddy's feet and they'll be dancing together. Now, she didn't know how to dance, but because she's on her father's feet, they're dancing together. To me, that's the imagery that I have. That's the best thing I know of to express it. It's an intimacy with God. He not only loves you, he likes you. And here's the proof verse. I love this verse. Zephaniah, that's hot pink in case you don't know it. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. The Lord delights you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he takes great delight in you. He not only loves you, he delights in you. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. It was so wonderful out there at Alder State Park just to get in his presence and be quiet. And the snow was falling. And I just said, again, I didn't hear his voice, but I felt his presence and his peace. It was so wonderful. Please don't live such a busy life that you miss out on intimacy with God. I did that for years and years and years. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Jesus is the abundant life. He wants to have an intimacy with you so that you know his presence. He will rejoice over you with singing. No one has ever rejoiced over me with singing. I've had some coaches yell over me. You know, anyone have that experience? That wasn't fun. I had plenty of that. But the Lord God Almighty is rejoicing over you with singing because he delights in you. It's right there. Does the word of God lie? It's true. It's true. You're not only love, you're delighted in. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That's a reality. Now, last week, a family asked me out to eat. That is not an advertisement for you to ask me out to eat. I have not lost many meals, okay? I'm not wasting away. But this family, one of the kids, it was their job to ask the question. So they got out the thing and they went around the table, man. They went around the table. So one answered the question, then the next one did, then the next one did, then the next one did. My goodness, it was Gestapo-like. But it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good to hear their answers. So this week, I can grin big. Either I got a big grin or whatever. You know, I might have that, I don't know. I can't think of his name, but the guy that's the Joker that has that fake grin, you know, because it's implanted there. Anyway, turn, if you had your table talk, if you're a visitor, just ignore everything that I'm talking about. What I do is I give homework every week. I'm a sadist, is that right? I impose on others so that I ask you to do homework each week. So last week, around the table after church, if you talked about the questions, please turn to the person next to you with a smiley face. If you forgot about it, frowny face. Just 1 second, okay? All right. This week, Jesus, our servant king. Jesus is our servant king. Mark 10:45. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus' kingdom, from my perspective, it's upside down. By the way, that purple and underline means it's a blank in your notes, in case you're wondering. And if you miss a note, or if I miss a blank, at the end of your notes on the second page, upside down and maybe backwards or whatever in the thing, you got all the answers. Because I know some of you don't like it when you don't have all the answers. And I got a book for you, Perfecting Ourselves to Death, in case that's you. Anyway, all right. Jesus' kingdom seems to be upside down. How do most kings or leaders act? How do they? You tell me. Most kings and the most people in charge, how do they act? Do they act like a servant of everyone, or how do they act? Yeah, that doesn't how they act, is it? It's just the opposite. Most of them expect you to do something for them. Jesus isn't that way. Jesus is the exact opposite. And it wasn't just one act. It's from the very beginning. In the beginning, in Jesus' ministry. And Philippians 2 talks about this, it's talking about Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness. Now think about it. How did Jesus come? Did he come as this great king and arrive with angels announcing it, and he had all this procession and everything? How did Jesus come? How was he born? Is that the way it was? No. He didn't even have a place. His mom and dad didn't even have a place to stay. Didn't even have a reservation. And when he was born, what was he born in? Was it a nice hospital room? No, a stable. Anybody ever shovel out a stable? Any flies in the stable? Any nice, sweet smells, aromas in the stable? My aunt lived next door and had four horses. And if I took care of the horses, which means if I shoveled the manure, I got to ride them. So I actually rode them a lot. I've shoveled a lot of manure in my life. We used to play tag on those horses. I'm telling you, we lived on the water. We used to go swimming with the horses. One of the horses, you could ride off the pier and he'd leap right in. We had so much fun with those horses. Let me tell you. You're probably thinking, you're feeling sorry for those horses about now. But Jesus came, not in a nice environment. And then after he's born, how many moms here would lay your child, your newborn child, in a feeding trough? Who would do that? Would any of you? I remember when each of our kids were born, man, they treated them and they washed them off and they did all this stuff. And Jennifer came out and she was grinning from the moment on. She was just over there just grinning. William came out screaming. The boy was hungry from day one. Minute one came out screaming. Jen, they had to beat her, and she finally whimpered a little bit, and then they put her under the Belly Reuben lights and all that kind of stuff. Are you with me? But was it all clean? When Jesus came, was it all clean and nice? Not. And you know how, and we're proud parents, and we told everybody, you know, we sent the word out that our kids were born. Well, who did God choose to get the word out through? What were they? Shepherds. Did anyone believe a shepherd? In that culture, shepherds weren't even permitted to give testimony in court because all shepherds are. Is anyone here a shepherd? I hope not. It's a long time ago, okay? Kind of like tax collectors, long time ago. But in that day, a shepherd, they were known to be kind of liars and thieves and steal anything. And so they couldn't even give testimony. If they saw crime, it didn't matter because they couldn't give testimony. But who was giving testimony to the birth of Jesus? From the very, very, very beginning, Jesus started out upside down. Upside down. He humbled himself. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords became a man. He became a servant. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus in his leadership style, he just turns everything totally upside down. He turns leadership totally upside down. So on this day, on Palm Sunday, when he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords riding into town, no one really understands it. They don't get it. Jesus became, I've not even watched, what's the name of Mel Gibson's movie? What's it? The Passion. I don't even watch it because I'm sure I'll get sick and have to throw up halfway through the thing. You guys watched it? Anyone want to go through that? For anyone? Man, they try and take blood from me and I'm on the ground. Either let me lay down or I'm down. Either one. You're going to pick me up either way. So let me lay down first and then take the blood. I mean, I'm a wimp. It's called, they call it vasovagal reaction. I tell the nurses it's wimpiness disease. That's the real name, wimpy. And I'm the poster child for it. Jesus not only became a man, not only became a servant, but he died. Not only died, he died death on the cross. Jesus takes this leadership and just turns it upside down. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Now, Lynette and I, our first argument, this isn't in your notes, our first argument was over doing dishes. And we decided to have, I decided to have children because children can then do dishes. Sorry about that. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he turns leadership totally on its head. And he acts like no other king because of his love for us. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. See, King Jesus is a servant king. He's a servant king. And see, I didn't understand that growing up. I grew up in the church. You know, I just turned 59, so I've been 59 9 months and a couple days in church, in an Alliance church. Everyone get that? 59 years, 9 months, and a couple days I've been in an Alliance church. And the whole time growing up, I really believed that if you asked Jesus into your heart, you weren't going to have fun anymore. He was going to take control and he was going to be the boss and he was going to do all this stuff. He's going to rub your nose and everything you did wrong. He's going to make you be a pastor of all things, man. He's going to make you be a pastor or a missionary or something like that. He's not going to let you have any fun. I believe that. I was so wrong. So wrong. Because the Son of Man came not to be served. He doesn't save us so that we serve him. He saves us to liberate us and to give us the abundant life. And even with the triumphal entry, that's what this is all about, the Palm Sunday. And let's look at what happened. I have the verses here. You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew 21 if you'd like. We're going to just read down through them. But I have them up on the screen. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples saying to them, go ahead to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. How cool is that? Does Jesus know everything? Does he know what you're going to eat this afternoon? I don't know what I'm going to eat this afternoon. He already knows. He already knows. In fact, before he chose you, he loved you and chose you. Before he chose you, he knew every stupid thing you were ever going to do. Now, for me, the list just keeps getting longer. Amen? Don't amen me, amen yourself, okay? Because I'm not alone on this, rascal. But it is so amazing that Jesus knew every single thing about me and about you. And you know what he said? I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Let's do this. I love you. I like you. You are mine. He knew in advance. He knew there'd be a donkey there with a little colt. He knew it. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knew the sin that we were going to commit. He knew the sin we were going to commit even after we prayed to receive him. And he still said, I love you. I choose you. I adopt you. You are mine. That's amazing. That's amazing. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them and they will send them right away. Jesus even knew what they were going to do. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And what did the prophet say? Say to the daughter in Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. That prophecy is Zechariah 9:9. And let's just look at that again. You know, what king? You know, I remember just after our president was elected, whether you like him, don't like him, I don't care your politics, but I remember seeing all these little blips, what kind of car he was going to be chauffeured around in. It was not a Chevy Chevette. Anyone even know what that is? I had one. Chevy Chevette. It was not a Chevy Chevette. It was not one of these little smart cars, you know, these little things that look like roller skates out there. It's not one of those. It was this big honking, bulletproof, whatever. No fuel economy there. But what did Jesus? So in Jesus' day, the equivalent is you would come riding in on this huge horse, this war horse. And you'd have people in front of you, and there'd be trumpets announcing you, and there'd be all this fanfare, and you would make yourself look as big and as important as possible. And what did Jesus do? Here he comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. See, Jesus takes this leadership thing and just turns it totally upside down. Either that, actually, that probably is his leadership. We as people have taken leadership and messed it all up. That's probably what's actually happened. We've screwed it up. He's got it right. The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now this was referring to what Pastor read to us this morning, Psalm 118, 25 and 26, that says, O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. See, over time, the original Hosanna really means save us. But over time, it became an expression of praise to God. But what they're really saying is, Lord, save us. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, here's the crowd here. There's at least three. There's probably tons of different people in the crowds. But some knew what was going on. Some were in the know. Some know nothing. And some were just too busy to even notice. And here's what I'm going to ask you today. Which category are you? Are you in the know? Are you clueless? Or are you just too busy? Which one are you? See, Jesus, the servant king, is knocking at our heart's door. Right now, this morning. You see, we're looking back and we're thinking, let me just go because I'm going to say it. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. You see, some of us here think, if I were there, I'd have been there cutting palm trees down. By the way, it's a cute idea that you know why they cut down palm trees is because they're palms, but that only works in English. It only works in English. It's a cool thought. You know, some people say that it was palm trees because we're going to be lifting our palms in praise. It's a cool thought, but it only works in English. Doesn't work in any other language. But it's a cool thought. So, how many of us are deep in our heart of hearts? Well, if I was there, I'd be cutting branches down. I'd be praising Jesus. How many of us really think that? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. And here's the real test. He's here now. And what are you thinking? Are you with me? I'm meddling here. I'm intentionally meddling here. Because for most of my life growing up in the church, I was like, I'm not those Pharisees. I'm not those Sadducees. I'm not like them. I'd have been cutting down. I'd have been worshiping him. Well, guess what? The same thing is happening right here and now. Right here and now. Right here and now. The truth is, Jesus, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. If you don't feel his presence right now, if you're not welcoming him right now, you wouldn't have been doing it back then. Are you with me? You'd have been a country bumpkin back then, too. Come on, be honest. I hope you guys are like me. Otherwise, you're just going to... You know, I played sports. I've got the stitches and the surgeries and the doctor's bills to prove it. And I used to think when I get older, because I looked at these older guys, you know, competing and playing stuff. When I get older, I'll whoop up on these guys. Do you guys ever think that? You know, the good guys that whooped up on me just got better over the years and still whoop up on me. Are you seeing the analogy here? It doesn't change. If we're not doing it now, we wouldn't have been doing it back then. There are those that recognized what were going on and participated. Others were clueless. And others were just too busy and missed out on all of it. And I'm telling you, even though I prayed to receive Jesus Christ at 11, most of my ministry, I was so busy doing for him that I missed out on intimacy with him. And I don't want that to happen to anyone. Because he is here. He is now. And another powerful, powerful verse is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And most of you memorize this growing up. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Someone asked me how I was doing this week. You know what word, first word came to my mind? I'm tired. I'm tired. Anyone here tired? What's Jesus saying? Now, Jesus is nice. I'm going to say, how's it working for you? What you're currently doing, how's it working for you? Because Jesus, come to me, all you. He almost said, y'all. Come to me, y'all. All y'all. Come to me, weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. And you will find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, again, when I was younger, if I'd heard Jesus say that, I'd have been right there with him. I'd say, yoke me up. I wouldn't have been like those stupid disciples that don't get it and don't get it and don't get it. Don't you read and say, man, thicky? My grandfather used to call us thicky. He thumped me on the head and called me thicky. It was a love endearment thing, you know, back then. That's the way they expressed love. It was a nickname. But the reality is, Jesus is here now. Just as much as he was then, he is here now. The resurrected and living Lord Jesus Christ is here. And it's his invitation. Come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Does anyone here need rest? See, today Jesus is here. And I'm going to meddle. What's your decision? What you're currently doing, how's it working for you? How's it working for you? Because Jesus is here and he is saying again, come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Does Jesus ever fib? This is an invitation. It's right from Jesus. It's not from me, it's from Jesus. Jesus is giving the invitation. All of his life, everywhere you look, Jesus was a servant king. See, the truth is, I don't make a good king or God. If you don't believe me, now you can ask my kids. They'll let you know. I don't make a good God. I make all kinds of horrific decisions. Look at your own life. You don't make a good one either. Jesus does. And Jesus is humble and kind and good. And he didn't come to rule over you. He came to set you free. Free to love. Free to enjoy him. But if you're like me, I grew up thinking the exact opposite. Man, if I turn my life over to him, he's going to rub my nose in it. He's going to make me do this. He's going to make me do that. But I can promise you just the opposite is true. He is humble and meek, and he wants to give you the abundant life, which doesn't mean a lot of things. It means himself. And this Wednesday, when I was out at Aldra, I didn't want or need anything else. I sensed his presence. I didn't want or need anything else. I had him. And he was and he is enough. And so again, this morning, what's your decision? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's here now. Come. Please stand together with me. Jesus, you're so amazing. You are so amazing. From the very beginning, you were humble. From the very beginning, you came not to rule over, not to be served, but to serve and to give of yourself. I ask forgiveness for the many years that I look back and said, wow, if I was there, I'd have done that. If I was there, I'd have done that. When the reality is you're here right now. And for many, many years, I just ignored that. And I didn't respond to your invitation. Yes, I was born again. I know that. But I was missing out on the abundant life. I was missing out on intimacy with you. In fact, I was still trying to earn and be good enough when the whole time you were just saying, come to me. Come to me. Just say yes to me. Father, you've sent your Holy Spirit here. Jesus, you're here. Please continue to draw us to yourself, however you choose. I know I want to say yes. Yes, Lord Jesus, please come. My salvation was settled long, long ago. I'm inviting you to come. 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 I just want more of you. More of you. Please. Continue to draw us to yourself. Thank you for your invitation. Thank you for what you're going to continue to do in each of our lives. Thank you. Thank you. Abba, Father, I pray all these things, and I pray them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. May we worship the Lord together. If you sense the Lord nudging your heart, this altar is always open. Jesus saying, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can meet him where you are, or you can come down here, either one. But please, don't ignore his call. Let's worship together.